A compliment is a gift not to be thrown away carelessly unless you want to hurt the giver. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with The Absolute Philosopher. A compliment is a gift not to be thrown away carelessly unless you want to hurt the giver. How many of us are careless with our with our compliments, giving and receiving? How many of us, when someone says, "Gee, you look great," "Ah," or "Is that a new dress?" "Nah, it's just something." "Is that a new outfit you got on?" You know. As I was walking the path this morning, I just had a haircut, and so my hair is short, and I wore one of my hats, and it was fine, but my neck was cool, because I wouldn't have you wouldn't think that a little bit of hair on your neck would keep your neck warm, but it did. And I was thinking, I'm going to buy myself a sweatshirt with a pullover hood. And so when it is cold in the morning, I can just pull that hood over, and it covers my neck, too. And I can have a nice warm neck to walk around my path with. Now, I have seen lots of people with hooded sweatshirts. And they have their hood up when they didn't have to have their hood up. But they were just, you know, playing a game, having a lot of fun. But I say thank you to them for showing me how it looks and how effective it can be. And so, who knows, maybe I'll get myself a hooded sweatshirt. Now, do you think anybody's going to buy me a hooded sweatshirt?
Yes, why not? Oh, yes.
Well, maybe they will. Now, what am I going to say when they do?
Thank you.
Am I going to say, how wonderful, you bought me this real nice winter hooded sweatshirt that is so warm and cozy? I don't really need it in the summer, but how nice it is on these nice cool days. I know Herbert Marti came to visit me at the airport, and he brought me a gift. And it was a gift that I was very surprised at and very delighted in. It was a scarf, a woolen scarf, a very nice woolen scarf, high quality. And every time I put that woolen scarf on, I think to myself, thank you, Herbert. You know, how nice of you to have given that to me. And so here I am blessing him. He doesn't even know it. And I'm saying, thank you, Herbert. Gee, that's wonderful of you. Every time I put that scarf on, I think, gee, Herbert, you know, you really were thoughtful. It was at the right time. It was in a cold winter day in Zurich, and he gave me that scarf at the airport. I immediately put it on, and it was just wonderful. And I perhaps never take it off. But my neck's not always cold. It's just when it's really cold outside, it's nice to have something like that. Now, Irene and Jörg, also from Switzerland, they looked at me and they said, you must have one of our coats. And so Irene brought me this beautiful coat, and it's in black leather, or whatever it is, and it is full of magnets. You know, she wants to mess up all of my tape recordings and all of my digital pictures and stuff like that. So I have to be very careful of that. Because everyone, oh, how wonderful, you have this magnets all over you. Yeah, but you see here in my pocket is my tape recorder, which works on digital, and it'll erase everything off of it. You know, the magnets do that. And you never put your tape recorder on top of your refrigerator or on top of your other players, because it works on the magnetic base. And that's the whole thing of a digital recorder and digital players. So you have to be very careful. But, you know, most people don't think about that. Wonder what's wrong with my digital player. Wonder what's wrong with my digital recorder. Well, when you get a gift, you have to know what all that gift includes. Now, I wear that jacket on rainy days and on windy days and on real cool days, and it's a wonderful thing. But I carry my digital recorder in my pocket back and forth from the house to the to the Hermitage, and I have to be very careful. Where do I have that I should really get a cover for my digital recorder, which is magnetic resistant, protected. Yeah, I'm sure they make something like that. If they don't, they should, because that would be a very handy thing. So, you see, gifts are wonderful. A compliment is a gift not to be thrown away carelessly unless you want to, you know, hurt the giver. Well, when anyone says to me anything lovely or beautiful, I immediately say, super, you know, it's wonderful. I talked to a man the other day on the phone. He was telling me that he had problems and so forth. And so I worked with him. And then I told him about the heart attack thing. And I told him a few other little things. And then I have many people abruptly hang up on me. They get tired of what I'm saying. They get tired of hearing me tell them, that it's you. And so in the last day, I've been hung up on about 3 or 4 times. But it's wonderful. But the people who brought the people to me that hung up on me, you know, told me later, what did you say to those people? What did you say to that lady? What did you say to that man? And I tell them, and they said, well, he's not got a problem anymore. And I said, well, wonderful. He applied the principle. No, Herb, that was you. That was you. You healed him. You did this. And I said, if that's what you think, then you are not a student of mine. Because I don't heal anybody. I give them the technique to do the healing. Because if I were to heal anybody, they would keep coming back to me and back to me whenever they had another need to be healed. And that'd be a silly thing to do. And I don't want to be a healer. I want to teach healing, share healing, and let everyone do it for themselves. And whenever you need it, it's just like this heart attack thing. It says the CPR is so wonderful because it helps to bring people back when they've had a heart attack. But then the article went on and pointed out more deeply, when people have a heart attack, there's often nobody around. And what are they going to do to help themselves? Die. Well, thanks a lot, you know. So what the article said was, you take a few deep breaths and cough as though you're just a volcano. You know, and do that about 4 or 5 times, and your lungs will be back into shape, and your heart will be fibrillated into its perfect order again, and you won't have any problem. Or you're dead. You know, if it is something that type of a reintroduction can help, you're okay. But if it's something that can't help, then no CPR will help you either, you know, because you just decided to go. Mm-hmm. Now, I read an article in the Discovery magazine, and it said, research has been done on people who die. 285,000 people. And over the years, and they're from this age to that age. And it was done with the idea to find out if people stay alive until their birthday, or if they stay alive until their relatives come, or if they stay alive for whatever reasons they might have, you know, and until the children are born, until the grandchildren are there, or what have you. And the article said it is not correct. People do not stay alive for these things. That in the testing that they did, it found that coincidentally some of those things might have taken place, but wherever specific requests were made upon themselves, and they were asked to report these things, you know, they were made upon themselves, they didn't fulfill them. Well, that's true. That's true. And we cannot tell ourselves that we're going to stay alive so we can see all of our grandchildren. And we cannot tell ourselves we can do anything, because you just can't do that. You just can't do that. They have done research, and they have found out that in their research, it's not done. It's not done. Well, you, this is a little aside, you are a person, and you are walking your spiritual path. And as you walk your spiritual path, you go to all the different types of teachings that might lift your heart and open your mind, and you haven't hit the one. And then all of a sudden, you find the one that touches you. And then you begin to follow what it says. And you begin to do what it says. And you begin to think, hey, that's really cool. That's wonderful. However, how do you know how to find it? How do you know how to find that thing that's going to touch you? You just keep searching. You just keep looking. Now, does everyone find it before they move on to the next dimension? Mm-hmm. No. And why not? Because they oftentimes gave up searching. They gave up looking. And you see, people who die after their grandchildren are born, or after their birthday, or after the holidays, or you know, after something other, after everybody's been able to get there, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. My mother was getting ready to die, and I was with her, and she says, Herbie, I want to go. And I said, well, clean up your body first, you know, take care of these things then. And she says, I want to go. And I said, but, you know, take care of yourself. You don't have to, you know. She says, Herbie, you're holding on to me. And I said, if I could, yeah, I would, you know. I said, because I want you around. You know, you're wonderful. I love you. And she says, well, I want to go. Well, my sister was there in the kitchen doing the dishes, and my brother wasn't there. He was at his house, not too far away. And my other sister was on her way from the East Coast to there and wasn't arriving yet. And whoever else was to be there, I don't know. But anyhow, she wanted to go. Well, my younger brother was on the East Coast too, not even coming yet. And so I said, well, then if you want to go, go. And she says, okay. And so then she went. But the thing is, she couldn't go because she thought I was holding on to her. She couldn't go because she thought that I needed her for whatever reason. She couldn't go. And now, That's my one of my experiences, you know. That's one of my experiences. And mother could have put her body back in shape if she wanted to, but she didn't choose to want to because she had other little conditions in her heart that made her feel very unhappy. And, you know, it often, not that this is the case with that, but oftentimes people, when somebody's dying, and there's argument in the family doesn't want to make up, even in front of the person who's dying, so they can die in peace, you know. And they don't want to make up, and they don't want to feel good about each other, and they don't want to feel good about themselves. They don't know how to work with a compliment, you know. And even Ellen, the other day, I said, Ellen, put this cause in motion. She said, well, sure. You think that's that easy? And I said, yes, it's that easy. Not that it's going to instantly be something you have believed in right away, but it's whatever you want. Now, do we have things in our past that are disturbing to us, that are uplifting to us, that make us unhappy? Yes, most people do. When we concentrate on those things that make us unhappy, what happens to us? We are always having that in our heart. Now, if you have, say, something that destroyed your reputation or destroyed your apparent character somehow, you would say, it didn't happen, it's okay, I'm clear of those charges and all that kind of stuff. Or you could say, I have a wonderful, beautiful, sound reputation. I have a wonderful reputation. You can say these things to yourself. Now, you say, but that's not true. Well, then why say it? Well, why do you want to say it? Because I wish it were true. Well, if you wish it were true, then you wish that you had a house. You wish you had a car. You wish you had a healthy body. So you wish you had a good reputation. So you start saying, I have a fine reputation. And when you say something like that, you're empowering it to be. Now, if you say, whatever happened, never happened. That day never took place. That the circumstances never took place. That doesn't work. Because then you're remembering that day, you're remembering the circumstances, you're remembering the things when that were supposed to have been bad, you know, and you're empowering that. You see, this is the same thing. Your compliment is a gift, not to be thrown away carelessly unless you want to hurt somebody, hurt the giver. Now, the compliment is, I have a fabulous reputation. I am a respected professional philosopher. I am a respected professional being. I am a respected human being. I'm a respected divine being. Now, go on and on and on like that. Or, I'm whole and perfect. And that may be contrary to the experience you're putting out, but you keep saying, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole. And then the wholeness and perfection reveals itself in our experience. I am independently wealthy. Ha! Ha! What about your jokes? What about your stupidity? I'm independently wealthy. I haven't got a penny, you know. I'm broke. I can't even pay my way to go to the movies and stuff, you know. Well, that's fine. You'll continue to be broke as long as you're going to keep holding those thoughts. And you say, I'm independently wealthy. I got the sun, you know, free. I got the air, free. I got water, free. I got everything, free. I mean, I'm wealthy. I have smiles. I got hundreds of millions and zillions of smiles that I can give out free. You know, I'm independently wealthy. What do wealthy people do? Do they go around with smiles on their faces? Do they go around with happiness in their heart? Do they go around sharing and giving and living? Not necessarily the money, but who they are? No. Because their concentration is on the money. And so all the wealth that they have is lost. It's lost because they don't know how to give it away. Money is only for giving away. To buy a car, to buy a house, to give away. Health is only to give away. When you're a healthy person, you just exude health and you think health for everybody. When you are a happy person, you see, those are the compliments, the real compliments of life. The compliments that make all the difference in the world for us. And is that what you want? Is that the kind of compliment you want? A compliment is a gift, not to be thrown away carelessly unless you want to hurt the giver. And you know who the giver is that you hurt? Yourself. Always yourself. So remember these things and benefit from them. Because what the heck? Let's talk about something that's important. I'm independently wealthy. That doesn't mean I have castles in Spain. Those are nice too. But I'm independently wealthy. I have everything that makes my life happy. And number one is what?
I like me.
Number one is health. When my health is good, I can do anything. And when is my health good?
When I like myself.
When I like myself, then my health is good. And when is my heart good?
And I like myself.
And when are all my relations good?
And I like myself.
You see, that's the perfect answer. But the thing is, first, when you live in a healthy mind, spirit, mind, and body, then you like yourself. Then you do all the things. But if you don't like yourself, you don't live in a healthy spirit, mind, and body. So the two have to go tag along together.
Arm in arm.
Arm in arm. And that's beautiful. Well, my beloveds, have a wonderful day, and know that this is just the beginning of the success in your life. I love you. I love you. I love you.